Hi, guys. Just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hi, guys. Welcome to the podcast. This is Nicole Sachs, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. So today's a really important conversation. Obviously, we are now in month 11 and a half of this global pandemic being truly global. In a few weeks, it will mark the one-year anniversary that my children's school was shut down, which is pretty much of a ubiquitous anniversary in the United States of things being shut down. And today, so many people, many, many hundreds of thousands of people around the world are suffering with symptoms that have been labeled COVID long haul syndrome. And when I first heard about COVID long haul, I immediately became concerned, and it was very heavy on my heart and on my mind that these symptoms that people were having, and I'm talking about people who have a clean bill of health, okay? So they're done with COVID and they don't have lung damage or heart damage that can be seen via any medical test, that these people are continuing to have symptoms, and the symptoms are very similar to symptoms I have treated for over 20 years in people with all sorts of chronic conditions and pain. They can be connected to many different diagnoses, things like chest pain or rapid heartbeat or burning mouth or chest tightness or chronic fatigue or exercise intolerance, anxiety. So many of these symptoms are symptoms I have treated, and I know deeply that they are very real. They are absolutely not in your head, but they are generated from a brain and a nervous system that is in a sustained, heightened fight or flight posture. And because fight or flight is only meant for short bursts of the human condition, not long drawn out ones, many bodily systems can be affected. And so I know this to be true. I also know to be true that when COVID began in March, there was such a stigma, there was such a fear, there was such an isolating component. First of all, it was the reason that the world was shut down. And second of all, it was contagious and unpredictable. And so many people were just left alone, truly alone. And that can cause so much isolation and so much introspection that a lot of our repressed emotional world that maybe we were handling when there was more to do, we were able to repress it more readily, starts to rise. So that's, you know, unresolved stuff from childhood or stuff with our personality that we still need to examine and excavate. And then, of course, there's the discomfort and trauma, true trauma, around the COVID itself and the isolation and the accompanying factors that lead people to be so terrified and so ostracized. And so, you know, all of this has been happening for months and months. And of course, there's tons of coverage on 60 Minutes and the New York Times and all over the world, different news programs and newspapers about this COVID long haul syndrome. And the brain is very suggestible. And anyone who understands anything about mind-body medicine knows this, that when fear takes hold and people don't know whether they're going to be okay and they see it starting to happen to them, the fight or flight and the fear will ramp it up and up and up until people feel totally panicked and paralyzed in their condition. And this is exactly the state that Lika found herself in only a few short months ago. So Lika is my guest today, and I want to say in advance that I am so embarrassed of how hard it was for me to figure out how to pronounce her name. I had a whole tutorial on pronouncing her name, and then I screwed it up in the first 10 seconds of the podcast, so please forgive me. But her name is Lika, And she wrote me an email a little while back about her COVID long haul symptoms, her absolutely traumatic, terrible year trying to figure them out, and then finding my work so randomly and being able to do it with the passion and purpose she needed to do. And she is totally well in a really beautiful way. Now, I knew this to be true. I knew that this would be the case if someone with COVID long haul symptoms found this work, but to have someone write me such an eloquent and articulate email about it, I immediately wrote her back and I said, oh, you must come on the podcast. And she wasn't even asking to come on the podcast. She was just sharing her story and thanking me. But she agreed to come on the podcast and her story is just extraordinary. So if you are new to this work and you have heard about this and just decided to pick up this podcast about COVID long haul and you've never heard anything else that I teach and you're curious, just go on over to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Click on the resources tab. There's tons of free stuff. I have a YouTube series called Healing Yourself Parts 1-4. And if you're suffering with COVID long haul, just take that set of words or your symptoms and replace it with every time I say pain, because the way our mind-body system expresses our stored trauma and our stored emotions in our bodies is totally arbitrary. Some people get migraines, whereas another person would get fibromyalgia, where another person would get pelvic pain, where another person might get COVID long haul symptoms if that's what they've gone through. So don't eliminate yourself just because I'm using the word chronic pain. It's chronic anything. It's chronic fatigue. It's chronic symptoms of autoimmune disease. It's chronic long haul. It's chronic emotional struggles. It's chronic anxiety. So don't count yourself out. Don't get caught up in the semantics of the word pain. If you are ready to open your mind and your heart, I have help for you. And I'm thrilled to be able to offer it. And I'm thrilled to be able to share this beautiful interview with you today. So enjoy it. And I hope that this can find you well. And if you're not well right now, I hope that you can take what I'm putting down and give yourself the gift of being curious. All right, guys, enjoy this beautiful interview with Lika. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this very special episode of the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. I am here with Lika.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
I had a tutorial on pronouncing her name before we started, and I've already screwed it up. Lika.
No worries.
I am here with Lika, who wrote me a very profound and life-changing email about her experience with COVID long-haul syndrome. And we are here in America, in the world. I'm here in America. She's in the Netherlands, correct?
Yes, I'm in Amsterdam.
Yes. She's in Amsterdam. And we are two people living on the globe of the entire world suffering with the effects and after effects of COVID-19. And I have, since the beginning of the pandemic, feared that the terror and shame and meaning around COVID, especially when it first was on the scene, you know, February, March of last year, would affect people greatly. It was an intuition I had from the very beginning, because there's so much emotion involved in getting something new that no doctor understands, that shuts the entire world down. It's just so heavy. And when people started coming out with what they're calling COVID long haul syndrome, I immediately felt, oh my goodness, I hope one day to have a voice in the public narrative about what is really perpetuating this. And so, so importantly to discuss that although the problems with COVID long haul are absolutely real, when people talk about mind-body medicine, they are never saying that the problem is in your head, or that you're making it up, or that you're creating it. All this means is, although the problem is being expressed through your body, there is an emotional genesis that involves brain science, that involves repressed emotions and the mind-body system, that sends the brain and the nervous system into a sustained fight or flight that does not allow the body to heal. So that's the premise of all my work. But when Lika reached out to me, what she described in her journey was precisely what I want to share. And I don't know her. We've never met till this day. But I'm just so grateful for her reaching out. And I'm so happy to share this story in a public forum. So I'm just going to I'm going to leave it to you and let you tell the story, and we can just keep talking as we go.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I cannot even begin to tell you how much this podcast has helped me. And thank you so much for fighting to get this knowledge out there. And forgive me if my English isn't perfect. I'm Dutch, but I will try my best to translate my Dutch thinking to English words.
Okay, first of all, you're already perfect. And second of all, I've already screwed up your name like 40 times. So you win, and you just don't apologize for anything.
All right. Well, I feel this huge responsibility to tell my story the right way, because I just know there are so many people around the world going through the exact same thing I went through, who are not being heard, who are classified as mild cases, but who have not been participating in life for months, who just feel scared and frustrated and ashamed, and who have to explain to their boss why they are not back at work after 10 months of recovering, who are stuck, just like I was. And so to explain a bit about what my life was like before I got sick, I was a healthy 35-year-old who worked out four times a week. I did high-intensity training, spinning classes. I liked to dance at festivals, and I had no underlying health issues. And I run my own travel platform, so I traveled the world alone. I am not a fearful person. I can keep my head cool when I need to. And I take good care of myself. I practice yoga and I meditate. But last year, I have not been able to do much more than just walk small distances since I got sick in March. And I've been recovering from COVID for 11 months now. So yeah, until I found this podcast, that was basically it. I was stuck and I was just feeling better for a couple of days, and then I was relapsing again. But to start my journey, I think it's important to tell you a bit what COVID was like for me, because I was a mild case. And to be honest, like, I'm so grateful that I wasn't hospitalized or anything. That's, you know, important to say. But halfway through March, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was extremely nauseous, and I had stomach cramps, and it felt like I had a severe food poisoning. So I was a bit confused because it just happened out of nowhere. And then 2 days later, my respiratory system started to burn. It was like I was breathing in menthol, and my heart started to race. I experienced severe chest pain, brain fog, shortness of breath. I had tremors in my muscles, and I was extremely dizzy. So at that time, COVID was a new thing. And in the Netherlands, you could only get tested for COVID if you were hospitalized. And because of my age, I intuitively knew it was COVID, but I had no diagnoses. So because of my age and because I was able to breathe, I had to heal at home. And I was visited twice by a doctor in one of those space suits for checkups, which is a very, very weird experience. But, you know, I was happy that someone would come over to see me. But other than that, you know, I'm a single girl. It was just me, myself, and I for weeks, for months. So at the time, the symptoms were just getting worse. And this was all happening very quickly. So this is the first month. It just progressed from just feeling tension in my chest and pain to not being able to shower, because I was so weak and dizzy. So I washed up with a washcloth for weeks, and I couldn't even walk from my couch to the kitchen without feeling like I would pass out. And my heart would race. Even when making a sandwich, it would go up to 135 while I was standing still. So having no diagnosis, it just made me very scared, because I thought, well, I think this is COVID, but it was so new that I wasn't sure. I didn't have it in writing. I couldn't tell people, look, I think I have COVID, but I just don't know. And the news was filled with just horrible images and numbers of people who were dying and hospital beds that were just, there were no hospital beds anymore in Italy. And
I remember it. It was so stressful. It was so horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It was extremely scary. And the Netherlands were just behind that. Like Italy was a bit more ahead of us, but it was just spreading so extremely quick. And I wasn't sure how my health was going to progress. This is something I've never experienced before. I couldn't sleep because my heart just kept racing. So my doctor prescribed me Valium or diazepam. I'm not sure how you pronounce it over there.
Either or both, yeah.
Yeah. So, and actually I used that for 8 months because I couldn't sleep. My body would just not relax at night. And I had antibiotics, which didn't help. I couldn't wear a bra because of the tightness of my chest and the shortness of breath. So basically all I did, I was lying on the couch or in bed with my arms above my head so I could breathe better. And that was my life for 9 months. I was just trying to stay calm inside my home, and I was practicing some yin yoga to release the tension in my muscles, in my chest. And I was meditating. I do that every day. I keep a gratitude journal to stay positive. And it was just, I was just focusing on the mental aspect of it that I could control in a way. And I had good days. There were days where I could walk a little bit and then I would relapse again. Like I said, that's, I think, something a lot of people who are going through this are experiencing. So it was an extremely lonely and scary time because there was no one to give me a hug or to tell me, like, you're going to be okay. And there were nights I feel just very overwhelmed just even saying that out loud. But there were nights that I thought I was going to die. So I talked to my mom on the phone and I told her where she could find my passwords just in case something would go wrong.
Oh my God, how hard that must have been for both of you to have those conversations.
Yes, and the thing, I think with these kinds of situations, you always feel bad for your mom. You feel bad for everyone around you. You know, I can handle my own emotions, but not hers.
Right. Yeah.
And then in June, so that's 4 months after the first symptoms, I had the first doctor visits. So that then they were checking on my lungs and they did an antibody test on me, but I was waiting for the results for weeks because, you know, everyone was just, it was so busy in the hospitals. And it just got so bad that my friend took me to the emergency room at 12 o'clock at night in June because I felt like I was poisoned almost, like the virus was everywhere. It was in my brain, in my lungs, in my heart, and I was extremely dizzy. I couldn't get my heart rate down, and I just felt like, you know, this is it. I cannot take it anymore. I'm not sure what's going on, but this is serious. This is more, even more serious than what I was going through in the weeks before that. But when I got into the hospital, there was this doctor, and he looked at me, and he, you know, he asked me, like, what are you doing here? You're just hyperventilating. And that was just a slap in the face because...
Yeah, of course. I mean, you're totally misunderstood at that moment.
Yeah, because later on I found out what was actually going on. But at that moment, he just sent me home without checking up on me, without asking any questions. I told him, I think I'm recovering from COVID, but I'm still not having any, you know, any diagnosis. I'm waiting on the results. And so, but he just wouldn't listen. When I got back home, I got the results from the other doctor. The lungs looked okay. My antibody test came back negative, and then they told me, this is not COVID. You don't have any COVID. But research already showed that a lot of people lose their antibodies after 2 or 3 months. So,
right, I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, they were just running behind on everything by that time. So there were no follow-ups anymore. And I just felt like nobody would listen for months. I would show them all those research, all those things, but they were just too busy, I think, it was just too much for the hospitals. And but at that time, my mouth and my tongue started to burn, and they burned for months. And I heard you say in a previous podcast, you had the same problem too once. And it was because nobody would listen to you. You wouldn't
I know.
Be heard.
It's true. Burning mouth is such an odd symptom that I had never heard about before it happened to me. And then once I went public with it, I was flooded with emails of people with burning mouth. And it's actually a very common mind-body symptom. So I'm not – when you wrote me that that was part of it, I was like, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, something clicked as soon as I heard you say that. I was like, of course, this is like 5 months in and no one would actually look at me or you know, listen to what I'm saying because this is COVID. I just, my whole body was saying, I had the whole list of symptoms. Everything was screaming COVID, but no one would listen to me. So it was November when I finally got to talk to a medical expert who works for the government here. He's in all the research and he's in the news, and he took the time and he let me talk, and he finally was able to give me the diagnosis that I had severe COVID infection followed by myocarditis in June. That is what when I was rushed to the hospital, to the emergency room, that is what I was experiencing. It was inflammation of my heart muscle. So that's why I felt like I was about to die. And it was not just hyperventilating. So, and he told me, this expert told me that a lot of people feel like they're poisoned because COVID causes infections in all the small blood vessels in your body. So it was November, but then everything fell into place. Finally, hearing these words after months of fighting to be heard, and it just, you know, it made me cry. So that was basically my starting point of healing. Although I was already meditating and I was already trying to calm my body down because I did a lot of Googling, which is not the smartest
not
thing
always
to do.
No.
No, especially with COVID. Like as soon as you Google anything on symptoms and you just read horrible stories of people just having damaged lungs and damaged heart. And it's horrible. So I think, first of all, like you said, for people who are going through anything like this, have yourself checked out, go to a doctor, make sure there's no damage in your heart or in your lungs or, you know, in those places that are, it's so important to have yourself checked out. But for me, I had all the research done. I went to a cardiologist. I had to wear a Holter monitor for 24 hours. I had all the x-rays done, blood work done, and everything looked fine. But I wasn't fine. I was still very sick.
Here's where I want to draw a distinction for people listening, because this is such a new topic and so important. Mm-hmm. I am not claiming or communicating that I think heart damage and lung damage are mind-body disorders. I understand, because people are often asking me, well, is there anything that is purely physical? And I often say, yes, if you tear your ACL in your knee, you need reconstructive surgery. You cannot use mind-body techniques to heal a torn ACL in your knee. But once you get the reconstructive surgery and you've gone through the proper rehab, if your knee is still hurting you 2, 5, 10 years later, that's where the mind-body system picks it up. And this is a proven fact many, many scientists have seen and doctors. So what I want to say about COVID long haul, and I'm very excited to get into this next part of your story, is that if indeed you get through your COVID infection and you are checked out and you don't have lung damage or heart damage or any physical findings, but you're still feeling as sick, this is a very common, incredibly normal mind-body experience where people always say, oh, but you know, I did my back when I was this age, my knee when I was this age, my shoulder, and it still hurts me 20 years later. This is something I hear from people all the time, even though medical findings are giving them a clean bill of health. And so You got your clean bill of health, but still you did not feel well. And this is incredibly typical. So go on.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And for me, the only thing that showed up in the test was that the acidification of my muscles was really bad. So the doctor told me, okay, just walk for half an hour max. Don't ride your bike, just in a really easy pace, because everything you will force, you will get a relapse. But all that did later on, I realized while listening to your podcast, was fueling me with more fear, because then I was like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this or I shouldn't be doing that. But you want to rebuild something, and rebuilding that, you know, it's difficult to rebuild with COVID because every time you get a relapse. So what I would do is I would go on short walks outside and I would listen to an inspiring podcast, something that would, you know, make me happy, inspire me. And on one of these podcasts was a guest, and she mentioned your name and your podcast, and she was recovering.
What podcast was it?
Okay, it's a Dutch name. So this is going to sound really crazy, but the podcast is named Met z'n allen by Gwen van Poorten. And she's a very inspiring young girl who invites guests to talk about spiritual things, about taking care of yourself, about meditation, about everything that keeps us sane in a time like this, basically. So she had a guest, and Lise, her name is Lise, and she was recovering from a burnout, and she discovered your podcast. So she
Oh my God, I love to hear that, though, because I have no idea who these people are, which is so great to me. I thought you must be talking about someone I knew or something I knew of. So it's exciting to me to hear that this message is getting around in ways I don't even know.
Yeah, that's exactly why I wanted to send you an email in the first place, to let you know that people are listening. We are listening.
Awesome.
So she mentioned your name in connection to her recovery from a burnout. So that wasn't directly connected to COVID, but I heard her say the words sustained fight or flight response.
Yes.
And as soon as I heard those words, because I did hear that term from the doctors I had been seeing, but no one told me how to heal it. They just said it will heal, but in time, you know, it will go away, but it didn't. So as soon as I heard her say those words, I started listening to your podcast. And as soon as I started listening, something clicked. I definitely had the gift of desperation at that time, like
nice.
You always say. So I decided to give it a go and practice for at least 28 days, believe it would do something for me, and not put a time limit on my healing.
So when you say practice, you mean you started a 28-day journal speak practice?
Yes, yes. In that, and then the meditation after it.
Right, right.
So I wasn't expecting miracles, but I did know that I felt this was going to help me. I'm a firm believer in mind-body connection. So I wrote down my symptoms when I started, and I started doing the work, the journal speak, and I listened to one of your podcasts every day while walking to learn more about the practice, like a guide. And I started my journal speak with three things: fear, anger, and shame.
Yes.
Including childhood, personality, and daily life, as you recommend, of course. But I didn't write these down specifically. I just held them in mind. And I started paying attention to my internal dialogues and things that would come up and trigger me. And then I started realizing that all the fear, you know, we get infused with fear on a daily basis by news and media covering COVID. And
yes,
every time
of course,
you're open,
yes.
Yeah. And because you're sick, you're Googling for it. And so you're just adding more fear on fear on fear. And my daily life was fueled with the fear of relapsing. You know, this was going on for months. And I was just so frustrated with it. And I thought I was doing everything right. I was meditating, I was practicing yoga, but I was just not getting better before I discovered this. So while writing, I started developing a healthy relationship with my anger, and I allowed myself to feel these feelings for the first time without judgment.
Yes.
Because like I said, I realized that I was getting frustrated over being frustrated. Of course. I felt like I should be more balanced, you know, because I meditate and I shouldn't let these emotions take over. But survival mode makes you push down all the negative thoughts, you know, because you're they won't help you. So you're trying to keep yourself calm. And journal speak was like opening a door that I kept shut for months. And that's not easy. I felt a lot of resistance many days because I was already feeling like crap. And I knew that writing would make me cry or upset. And I think it's important for people to understand that this is not just a therapy session. It's about reprogramming your nervous system. And you can avoid thinking about your feelings, but your nervous system will respond to them regardless.
So let's pause and talk about that for a minute, because I think that my hope is that we may get some attention for this particular podcast because of the subject matter from people that may not have a great deal of experience with my work. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about what journal speak is and how it's not just a therapy session, which of course it's by yourself. It's with you and either your computer or your notepad or however you're getting your feelings out. But I'm just going to give a quick 2-minute primer, which is that journal speak is something I created when I was in the midst of my horrible chronic pain many, many years ago. And it is an expressive writing technique where you take a look at the basic human emotions that we are not comfortable, nor societally is it comfortable to feel, like rage, like shame, like grief, all embarrassment, regret, all the things that we are sort of programmed to say, oh, it's fine, I'm good, I'm fine, don't worry about it. And those things, along with daily life, stuff like COVID and the meaning around COVID and the stigma around COVID and the fear, the terror around the worldwide conversation of it, and many, many other things, triggers into our childhood. And anyone who is really curious can go to my website and learn all about this. But journal speak is a way of getting that out in a total unapologetic forum, just really speaking it into, you know, into some people, they have severe pain in their hands. You know, this is not only for COVID. So they'll speak it into a recording device and then erase it. It's best to write it because writing slows your thoughts down enough and it makes space for epiphany, which I'm sure you experienced at some point, which I'd love to hear about. But essentially what she's saying is that this is affecting your processing of your brain and your nervous system. If you're in sustained fight or flight, there is no way for there to be a break and for there to be an awakening into moving from fight or flight to rest and repair when your brain and your nervous system are busy repressing these natural feelings. When you take the time to do your journal speak, you're opening a steam valve. You're letting them come out. And in doing so, you're teaching your brain and your nervous system that there is no danger in feeling them. The trauma does not have to stay repressed and then expressed through the body. It is expressed through you, and the body heals. So tell me a little bit about how that process felt for you when you were doing it.
Well, it felt, at first it was like I said, the door opened and just everything came out. I was crying a lot. I was angry. I felt a lot of resentment, shame. I felt like, you know, those three things, anger, fear, and shame, I think were the most important emotions, the big three that I felt last year, because it was so difficult for me to explain to friends and family what was happening to me, because even doctors couldn't see what it was or give me advice. And I'm the kind of person that doesn't really ask for help. I'm afraid to be seen as a drama queen or someone who exaggerates or needs a lot of attention. So I kept a lot of stuff inside and it was a lonely struggle. So for me to be able to write that down just for me, for no one to see, how I felt and how I lost friends last year who just didn't want to talk about COVID anymore. And it just... all the things that I was like, well, I was very understanding of my surroundings, but I was angry. I felt like I was not being heard for so long, and I felt alone, and I was just ashamed. Why was I not recovering? Because everyone around me was recovering within 2 weeks. So there was so much inside that I felt embarrassed almost about. And as soon as I started writing, I just couldn't stop. I was just I was on my laptop, so every time I was finished, I would erase it. But I also have to be honest, I also felt resistance because at the beginning I was very sick. And I knew it was going to trigger hard stuff, heavy stuff. But you know, I did it every day for 28 days writing, and then feeling more and more love for myself and more understanding for what was going on, and for more acceptance, basically radical acceptance.
Yes, for what, so important.
For what was going on and for the possibility. I completely believe that was the possibility of that was stopping me from getting better. That my body was still, how do I explain that? Like still responding to everything inside. I had to get it out. I had to get it out. And I had some beautiful moments too, because it's not only hard. You end with so much more understanding of yourself, more love for yourself, more patience. You start paying attention to internal dialogues on a daily basis. And it's just, you become more free, I would say. And I don't know how else to explain it, but you release so much. And for people, I think it's important for people to understand, because this is something that I did. As soon as you start feeling better, which will happen, the first thing I noticed was my energy was going up within in the first month. I would just be able to walk more. I would be able to ride my bike again. And so that happened very quickly, I would say. And then there were days where I was like, okay, I'm actually doing good. No, I'm starting to feel better. Maybe I don't need journal speak today. I will do it again tomorrow. Or I would stop being that precise with it. But as soon as you stop, the symptoms will come back.
At the beginning.
Yes.
I just want to put that in there, because some people get panicked and they're like, do I have to do this for the rest of my freaking life? And that's not true. But think of your nervous system as a small child, okay? So the nervous system operates upon the knowledge that you must stay alive. The main objective of the nervous system is to function with the brain and to keep a human being alive. That's why the most primitive functioning is the fight or flight functioning. You know, do you need to escape or do you need to fight for your life is really a survival technique. And so, you know, when you're at the beginning and you have been traumatized to such an extent, laying in bed, wondering if you were going to make it through the night, talking to your mother about your possible death. I mean, this is real trauma. This is capital T trauma. And when you go through that, the nervous system is like an injured child. You know, are we okay? Are we not okay? So at the very beginning, yes, the consistency allows the nervous system to continue to express these thoughts. It doesn't stay toxic within you. But eventually, that is certainly not the case. I just want to promise you that.
Yeah, I know that. And I think one of the most important things that you also say a lot is take your time and don't set a time limit on your healing. Don't expect miracles within a month if you've been sick for, you know, a year. It could happen, but maybe it will take a bit longer. So that's something that I'm still working on, the patience. And and also one thing that I thought was very interesting that you said is the expand, plateau, and contract system, that you're cycling up the mountain. It's not a linear line.
Oh, explain that a little bit. People might not have heard that one.
Yeah. Well, the visual of your circling up a mountain is it's not a straight line. Healing is not a straight line. At least that's exactly how I'm experiencing this. But your highs will get higher. You will drop sometimes. You will have symptom flare-ups. You will have the inflammation a bit. You know, you will feel it, but then it will go away and you will feel better. So I thought that was so interesting when you said that expand, plateau, contract. Like it's a cycle, but it's going up. You will feel better.
Yeah, so let me say it a bit like the visual, because people who haven't heard this, I think I'm – thank you for bringing it up. I say so many things I never freaking remember. But I remember, but I don't know exactly to repeat them so often. And this is a great one. And so the way I picture healing is some people picture it like they're going up a mountain and they think they're going to start at the bottom and then they're going to walk to the top. And people get very upset when they find themselves – at least in their mind, back where they started, quote unquote. And I often say to them, no, but look more carefully. You're not back where you started. Healing is not going from the base of the mountain to the top. Healing is making concentric circles around the mountain like a spiral up and up and up. So you may come to a place where you say, I'm right where I was. And what I encourage people to do is look down and see that you might feel similar to a place you've been before, but if you're honest with yourself and you take an inventory of the moment, when you look down, you might see yourself on that lower path during, you know, at the wider circle of the spiral below you, but where you are today continues to improve. Just like you said, expand and then plateau and then contract, right? So we take a moment. Sometimes we have a bad day. Sometimes we're feeling negative. It's okay. Keep doing the work, left foot, right foot, breathe, and then you will feel the expand. And this is the way the human body heals. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, that meant a lot to me. And also, I think what Journal Speak does is you start listening to what's going on inside of you, of course, every day on a daily basis, and you start to recognize dynamics. Like I was not really good at feeling my feelings because I grew up in a family where my brother has autism and my dad had two heavy burnouts. So I was always kind of juggling around that to keep everyone happy and to avoid anger, explosions and things going on. So it was never really about me, which was, you know, it wasn't always the safest environment. So this practice really, because it's just for me, no one else will read it. I can say everything I want, as blunt as I want it, and then it's gone. It's wiped off the screen, no one will ever read it. So that's a very safe place. And for me to actually connect to that, I've talked to a therapist when I was younger because of the family dynamics. But so I know how to talk about them, but still when there's someone else in the room, I was always focused on the other person. What will she be thinking? What will she be, you know, maybe I don't want to let my parents down. I don't want to talk bad about them. You know, I love them. So when I was writing on paper, it's a safe place. And you just become aware of what's going on inside of you. And you learn how to feel your feelings and have compassion for yourself and know that those feelings are not necessarily bad. They're okay because you're human. So that's basically, it's an amazing discovery. And to just feel my body recovering, and slowly but surely the pain started to go and my mouth is not burning as bad. And I started to be able to go and see my friend and go for a walk and talk to her at the same time. Before I wasn't even able to walk and talk at the same time because my throat would just close up. The muscles would get so tense. And now I was able to talk to my friends and talk to someone on the phone even. I wasn't able to talk to someone on the phone for months or even answer text messages. So it gave me so much freedom. And I finally feel like I'm getting my life back, which is a very great thing.
That's wonderful. So how are you feeling today? How do we find you in terms of, you know, you said when you first started the 28-day challenge, which I do have actually a YouTube video specifically about, do this for 20 days, write down your symptoms at the beginning, and then write down your symptoms at the end in terms of severity. Where do you find yourself now?
Well, I'm in a really good place. Every day is a bit different, of course, but I have painted my room, which is like, it's like a milestone for me. I was like, okay, if I can do this, this is like, you know, how intense painting a room is very, you know, it takes a lot of strength, but I'm still alive. And that happened, you know, I've been practicing for 2 months now. So in January, a doctor was telling me, girl, you don't need to do anything else, but just walk for 30 minutes. Don't do anything else. And now I'm painting my room. So this morning I rode my bike. I talked to two friends. I walked with one of them for an hour and a half.
Wow.
We had coffee and I rode my bike back home, which is also a 30-minute bike ride. And now I'm talking to you. So,
wow.
Yes. Changed my life.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. You know, one thing that I often, it's almost like I feel like it's amazing when I hear it. I've been doing this work for 20 years. I mean, this is what's hilarious. I've been doing this work for 20 years. I myself am a miracle walking around because I was told when I was 19 that my spine would degenerate so much that if I didn't have spinal fusion surgery, I'd be in a wheelchair by 40, that I would never have biological children, that I couldn't travel, that I couldn't exercise. I am 48. I've never had a surgery or procedure. I gave birth to three kids who are now 18, 16, and 13. I've traveled the world. I live my life. My daughter had a roller skating party last week and I got my rollerblades on and I rollerbladed for 2.5 hours in circles around these kids. I can do anything. So you would think that I would not be surprised or taken by the stories that I hear on this podcast, but still, the miracle is so fresh for me because it is so incredible that all these things you just described not only make you feel better and maybe more connected to your inner child or more at peace with the way you see the world, which all does happen and all is great, it literally heals your body. I just want people to hear this so loud and proud that it heals your body because when your brain and your nervous system are in sustained fight or flight, the rest of your systems shut down. They shut down because survival is the only thing that you can focus on. And that affects digestion, that affects circulation, that affects all your muscular groups. I mean, this is the truth. It affects concentration because the only thing that's important are the most basic survival systems. And those are meant for short bursts. You know, fight or flight is not meant to be lived in. It's meant to get you away from the saber-toothed tiger for 10 minutes. That's it. And so a body living like that is a body that begins to really shut down. And so for you to describe it this way, it's just so beautiful. And I just want to tell you, it's never lost on me. I could hear it a million and one times. It's never lost on me.
Yes, I didn't expect to see and feel the change so quickly. But I was having a glass of wine with a friend just last week. And, you know, the normal things, these are just normal things. They should be normal things, but they were not normal things for me because every time I had a glass of wine last year, I would have a relapse. So you would be so careful about everything you do. And the fear would just be taking over. It was just taking over my life. So to be able to do that now and to paint my room and ride my bike on the bumpy canals here in Amsterdam, it's just freedom. It's freedom.
It's so beautiful. So let me ask you. So we're here and potentially going to get an audience of people who are struggling with long haul. And I'm sure that most of them are feeling like this is a physical problem. I had COVID. My body is now screwed up and malfunctioning and misfiring. And all I do is watch the news and then 60 Minutes and then, you know, all the news coverage of the newspapers around the world. And they're saying that this is a major problem and it's going to be a problem for years and I'm fueled by fear. That's totally normal. I so get it that without this kind of information, this baseline that I've lived with for years, nobody would think that what we're talking about would heal them. And I 100% know that this is the answer. What would you say to somebody sitting in that kind of fear?
Well, if you have the gift of desperation, like I had, if you've had all the research done, if you don't know what to do, give it a try. Listen to the podcast and it will inspire you. It will change your life once you get it, you know, once you really understand it. You will not understand it if you listen to one episode. I think people need to listen to your course, or they need, you know, you really have to listen to more of it to really understand how fear and feelings and emotions are affecting us. But I think there are so many people who are desperate for an answer, who are desperate to find a solution. And like me, I was just the same. I was exactly the same. And I was, all I could think was like, you know what? I'm going to give this a try. I'm going to believe this is going to help me, because I've heard the doctors have, you know, they use the same words. They said I was in sustained fight or flight. They said the exact same thing. The only thing is that they didn't have an answer for it. My cardiologist even told me that. I explained to her what I was doing. I saw her after I started listening to the podcast. She wrote down your name too, because she said this is exactly what we are trying to achieve with medication for the heart, when we are trying to trick the fight or flight response. So she's going to listen too, I hope. Yes.
Awesome. And I have to tell you, I just have such tremendous gratitude for you having the idea to write me, and the willingness and the openness and the bravery to share your story, because this is the answer. And I say that not because I want to be right or arrogance or anything. I'm saying this because for years, I feel like Sisyphus. Remember that old fable of Sisyphus who pushes the rock up the mountain and then it just falls back down?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that? Okay, Greek.
Yes.
So yes. I have been doing this work. First of all, Dr. Sarno, who was an incredible physician in the States, who did this work for 50 years, and he passed away a few years ago, and he was my first, he was my doctor, then he was my inspiration, then he was my colleague, and now he is my guide. And he and I, he in my spirit world and me here, I'm trying to carry this message. And it feels like almost a desperation sometimes to say, this is the answer. You can heal yourself. So it's not like I want to be right. I just want people to know that you don't have to feel terrified and alone. And you don't have to feel like there's no answer for you. This is an answer. It's not easy. I always say it's simple, but it's not easy. You know, this takes hard work, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You have to look inside and you have to go there.
Yep, you do. And you have to go there. And sometimes it's going to feel shitty. And sometimes it's going to feel like, I don't want to think about my relationship with my mother, or I don't want to think about the bullying that happened when I was a kid, or I don't want to think about my father's alcoholism or my sexual abuse or all the neglect. There's so many things that could be living in there. And that's another thing that's important to realize. Mm-hmm. This COVID long haul thing, it's not just about COVID. I think it is definitely a major trigger, because COVID came at a time where nobody was expecting it. It shut down the world. It came with so much meaning and so much fear and so much stigma. And especially if you got it in the spring last year, when it was so new and so, it was almost like leprosy. Like, you know, the guy in the doctor in the spacesuit has to come to your house. Like, it's, you know, it's so terrifying and so isolating that I do think that's a huge trigger. And there definitely is journal speak to be had on that. But similar to any triggering event, COVID is opening the door to a lot of unfelt feelings that are going to now rush the door, because we're all repressing emotions during an entire lifetime. This is a human event that must happen. If you had to feel every one of your feelings as you felt them, every human being would be completely paralyzed. We would not be able to function. That's why repression in its nature is a healthy defense mechanism. We need it at the beginning. But lifetimes of repression, when there is a triggering event, when there's a way that things start rising to the surface, these emotions will be relentless in their desperation to rise. So I'm sure that that happened to you.
Absolutely. Yes, definitely. And I think also, because you're in survival mode, like I said, you're doing everything you can to stay calm, because something is happening inside your body that you don't know what's, you know, what way is going to go. Are you going to get better? Is it going to get worse? Every day is different. So you're pushing so much down. And just the thought of maybe I might die, or my parents will have to bury me. And all those thoughts are going on inside your head, and they're there regardless. You know, it's affecting you whether you want to look at it or not, but you have to get through it.
Yes, yes. All right. All right. Well, I appreciate you so much. Before we wrap up, is there anything else that you wanted to share?
One thing I hear a lot of people say, who I talk to and recommend listening to this podcast and doing the work, is that they're saying, well, you know, I'm feeling too sick. I don't think I can write for 20 minutes. I'm so weak now. I don't think I can do the work. Maybe you have a good recommendations for those people who think that they're too weak to do the work.
I think that this is something where you have to realize that your body is not against you. This is a partnering with your body. So if you feel too weak to do the work, you have to honor that, but you have to make sure that you're fueled by love and not fear. So you'll hear me say this all the time. I'm sure you have if you've listened to all the podcasts. There are two energies in the world, love and fear, and one of those energies is fueling every single decision you make. So if you're laying in bed and you are so wiped out and you say, I can't do this, and if you're just tremoring with fear and saying, I can't do this. If I try, I'm going to get worse. If I try, it's not going to work. Then you got to push through that. You got to breathe. You got to put your hands on your heart. You have to say, this is my life and I am going to take the reins, empower myself and save it. I'm doing this for me. If I have to write for 5 minutes and stop and rest for a half hour and then do 5 minutes, I will do it. But you have to fuel it by love. Because we are not getting anywhere unless we fuel ourselves by love. Being fueled by fear can take you far, but there's tons of side effects. And a lot of the side effects are what ends up people, you know, people with chronic conditions. So, you know, I think that it's really just about doing what you can do. As I said earlier, if you can't possibly put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard, you can take your phone out, open up a voice note, and speak slowly and deliberately. Tell the story of your feelings, tell the story, you know, in terms of your journal speak, if you did decide to make your three lists. And like I said, all information on my website, if this is a completely new concept to you, and there's also a podcast in this series, in this podcast called Journal Speak, Your New Best Friend, where you can listen to that one and it can really explain to you what to do. But once you figure out what you need to do for your journal speak, you just speak it slowly and deliberately. But do your best to take the 20 minutes. And the reason I say that is because you're supposed to get uncomfortable. 20 minutes is by design. I am mean. I am making you do it because I'm saying if you get uncomfortable enough, you will push through and you will realize, look what I just did. I mean, I'm sure you had moments of that.
Of course, yes. And I had a lot of resistance at days where I was like, I'm not sure what I'm going to write about right now. But as soon as I started, after 10 minutes or 15 minutes, something just hit me and I would just be writing things that I didn't even know were inside. So it doesn't have to be so heavy. You just have to start, I think.
Yes, yes. Resistance is going to be part of the situation. Resistance to well, TMS, which is the overwhelming umbrella. Under TMS lives every chronic condition. And I often say resistance to TMS is part of the syndrome. That's the part that your brain and your nervous system think that feeling the feelings are going to kill you. So they'd rather keep you with your COVID long haul. That actually is a safer space than feeling all the feelings associated with it in this very confused, very lovely mind-body system. So what you have to do is you have to say to your resistance, I get it. You're trying to protect me from feeling this. That's the whole point of my resistance. I'm just going to do this now as an act of love for myself.
Yeah, exactly. Just start.
Just start. I love that. I love that. All right. Is it Lika or Lika?
Lika.
Lika.
Yes. Nicole.
I'm so sorry. Lika. I'm going to say your name 50 times when I'm done with this podcast. And I'm just going to call you once a week and be like, Lika, what's up? Lika, my dear, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me and for showing me a way out and for giving me my life back.
My pleasure. My pleasure. The only thank you I need is go and live it and enjoy it.
Oh, I will. I will, even more than I ever did, I think.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I hope that we brought some light to you today. And if you're enjoying this podcast, it's a great favor to me if you go over to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps more people find the podcast. And until next time, this has been Nicole Sachs with The Cure for Chronic Pain. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.